Today is the 18th day of September. Wow. This year. Wow. We got quite a ways to go, but wow, it's gone by pretty fast. It's hard to believe this late into the year, this late into September. It's great to be here with you today. As we do what we do every single day, step by step, day by day, this is how many days we've traveled into the year. I'm grateful for the journey that we are on, this 20th journey through the scriptures. Grateful to be here in a safe place, one of the safest places in my life, if not the safest place, is here. In this safe container that we make, this little oasis that we create every day as we gather together, knowing that, you know, all of these defense mechanisms and all of the unguardedness and hypervigilance that we might live with, that can be just turned off briefly, because here we're just doing one thing, and that is engaging with the scriptures and allowing them to do whatever they do inside of us with open hearts, because our hearts are open to the Holy Spirit, to God. And if we gotta be hyper vigilant about that, then, well, we gotta really examine where our trust is. Here, opening our hearts to God and His Word and just allowing it to have its way for a little while is transformative. And it requires a safe place for that transformation to happen. And so, I am grateful to be here with you. How are you? How is your day? I am overjoyed that we can spend this part of the day together. So let's move into it. We're working our way through the book of Isaiah. I would say we are more than a third, but not quite a halfway through the book of Isaiah. Today, chapters 28, verse 14 through chapter 30, verse 11. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scoffers who rule this people in Jerusalem. For you said, we have made a covenant with death, and we have an agreement with Sheol. When the overwhelming catastrophe passes through, it will not touch us, because we have made falsehood our refuge and have hidden behind treachery. Therefore the Lord God said, look, I have laid a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. The one who believes will be unshakable, and I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the mason's level. Hail will sweep away the false refuge, and water will flood your hiding place. Your covenant with death will be dissolved, and your agreement with Sheol will not last. When the overwhelming catastrophe passes through, you will be trampled. Every time it passes through, it will carry you away. It will pass through every morning, every day, and every night. Only terror will cause you to understand the message. Indeed, the bed is too short to stretch out on, and its cover too small to wrap up in. For the Lord will rise up as he did at Mount Perazim. He will rise in wrath, as at the Valley of Gibeon, to do his work, his unexpected work, and to perform his task, his unfamiliar task. So now, do not scoff, or your shackles will become stronger. Indeed, I have heard from the Lord God of armies a decree of destruction for the whole land. Listen and hear my voice. Pay attention and hear what I say. Does the plowman plow every day to plant seed? Does he continuously break up and cultivate the soil? When he has leveled its surface, does he not then scatter black cumin and sow cumin? He plants wheat in rows and barley in plots, with spelt as their border. His God teaches him order. He instructs him. Certainly black cumin is not threshed with a threshing board, and a cartwheel is not rolled over the cumin. But black cumin is beaten out with a stick, and cumin with a rod. Bread grain is crushed, but is not threshed endlessly. Though the wheel of the farmer's cart rumbles, his horses do not crush it. This also comes from the Lord of armies. He gives wondrous advice. He gives great wisdom. Woe to Ariel! Ariel, the city where David camped. Continue year after year. Let the festivals recur. I will oppress Ariel, and there will be mourning and crying, and she will be to me like an Ariel. I will camp in a circle around you. I will besiege you with earth ramps, and I will set up my siege towers against you. You will be brought down. You will speak from the ground, and your words will come from low in the dust. Your voice will be like that of a spirit from the ground. Your speech will whisper from the dust. Your many foes will be like fine dust, and many of the ruthless like blowing chaff. Then suddenly, in an instant, you will be punished by the Lord of armies with thunder, earthquake, and loud noise, storm, tempest, and a flame of consuming fire. All the many nations going out to battle against Ariel, all the attackers, the siege works against her, and those who oppress her will then be like a dream. A vision in the night. It will be like a hungry one who dreams he is eating, then wakes and is still hungry. And like a thirsty one who dreams he is drinking, then wakes and is still thirsty, longing for water. So it will be for all the many nations who go to battle against Mount Zion. Stop and be astonished. Blind yourselves and be blind. They are drunk, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with beer. For the Lord has poured out on you an overwhelming urge to sleep. He has shut your eyes, the prophets, and covered your heads, the seers. For you, the entire vision will be like the words of a sealed document. If it is given to one who can read, and he is asked to read it, he will say, I can't read it because it is sealed. And if the document is given to one who cannot read, and he is asked to read it, he will say, I can't read. The Lord said, these people approach me with their speeches to honor me with lip service. Yet their hearts are far from me. And human rules direct their worship of me. Therefore, I will again confound these people with wonder after wonder. The wisdom of their wise will vanish, and the perception of their perceptive will be hidden. Woe to those who go to great lengths to hide their plans from the Lord. They do their works in the dark and say, who sees us? Who knows us? You have turned things around as if the potter were the same as the clay. How can what is made say about its maker, "He didn't make me"? How can what is formed say about the one who formed it, "He doesn't understand what he's doing"? Isn't it true that in just a little while, Lebanon will become an orchard, and the orchard will seem like a forest? On that day, the deaf will hear the words of a document, and out of a deep darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. The humble will have joy after joy in the Lord, and the poor people will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the ruthless one will vanish, the scorner will disappear, and all those who lie in wait with evil intent will be killed. Those who, with their speech, accuse a person of wrongdoing, who set a trap for the one mediating at the city gates, and without cause deprive the righteous of justice. Therefore, the Lord who redeemed Abraham says this about the house of Jacob: Jacob will no longer be ashamed, and his face will no longer be pale. For when he sees his children, the work of my hands within his nation, they will honor my name. They will honor the Holy One of Jacob and stand in awe of the God of Israel. Those who are confused will gain understanding, and those who grumble will accept instruction. Woe to the rebellious children! This is the Lord's declaration. They carry out a plan, but not mine. They make an alliance, but against my will, piling sin on top of sin. Without asking my advice, they set out to go down to Egypt in order to seek shelter under Pharaoh's protection and take refuge in Egypt's shadow. But Pharaoh's protection will become your shame, and refuge in Egypt's shadow, your humiliation. For though his princes are at Zoan and his messengers reach as far as Hanes, everyone will be ashamed because of a people who can't help. They are of no benefit. They are no help. They are good for nothing but shame and disgrace. A pronouncement concerning the animals of the Negev. Through a land of trouble and distress, of lioness and lion, of viper and flying serpent, they carry their wealth on the backs of donkeys and their treasures on the humps of camels, to a people who will not help them. Egypt's help is completely worthless. Therefore, I call her Rahab, who just sits. Go now, write it on a tablet in their presence, and inscribe it on a scroll. It will be for the future, forever and ever. They are a rebellious people, deceptive children, children who do not want to listen to the Lord's instruction. They say to the seers, "Do not see," and to the prophets, "Do not prophesy the truth to us. Tell us flattering things. Prophesy illusions. Get out of the way. Leave the pathway. Rid us of the Holy One of Israel." Galatians 3:23-4:31. Before this faith came, we were confined under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith was revealed. The law, then, was our guardian until Christ, so that we could be justified by faith But since that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For through faith, you are all sons of God in Christ Jesus. For those of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. There is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female, since you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Now I say that as long as the heir is a child, he differs in no way from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. Instead, he is under guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were in slavery under the elements of the world. When the time came to completion, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then God has made you an heir. But in the past, since you didn't know God, you were enslaved to things that by nature are not God's. But now, since you know God, or rather have become known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elements? Do you want to be enslaved to them all over again? You are observing special days, months, seasons, and years. I am fearful for you that perhaps my labor for you has been wasted. I beg you, brothers and sisters, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You have not wronged me. You know that previously I preached the gospel to you because of a weakness of the flesh. You did not despise or reject me, though my physical condition was a trial for you. On the contrary, you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. Where then is your blessing? For I testify to you that if possible, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. So then, have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? They court you eagerly, but not for good. They want to exclude you from me so that you would pursue them. But it is always good to be pursued in a good manner, and not just when I am with you. My children, I am again suffering labor pains for you until Christ is formed in you. I would like to be with you right now and change my tone of voice because I don't know what to do about you. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, don't you hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave and the other by a free woman. But the one by the slave was born as a result of the flesh, while the one by the free woman was born through promise. These things are being taken figuratively, for the women represent two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai and bears children into slavery. This is Hagar. Now Hagar represents Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. but the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, rejoice, childless woman, unable to give birth. Burst into song and shout, you who are not in labor. For the children of the desolate woman will be many, more numerous than those of the woman who has a husband. Now you too, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as then, the child born as a result of the flesh persecuted the one born as a result of the Spirit, so also now. What does the scripture say? Drive out the slave and her son. For the son of the slave will never be a co-heir with the son of the free woman. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of a slave, but of the free woman. Psalm 62. Trust in God alone. For the choir director, according to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. I am at rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will never be shaken. How long will you threaten a man? Will all of you attack as if he were a leaning wall or a tottering fence? They only plan to bring him down from his high position. They take pleasure in lying. They bless with their mouths, but they curse inwardly. Selah. Rest in God alone, my soul, for my hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will not be shaken. My salvation and glory depend on God, my strong rock. My refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before Him. God is our refuge. Selah. Common people are only a vapor, important people an illusion. Together on a scale, they weigh less than a vapor. Place no trust in oppression or false hope in robbery. If wealth increases, don't set your heart on it. God has spoken once. I have heard this twice. Strength belongs to God, and faithful love belongs to you, Lord, for you repay each according to his works. Proverbs 23:19-21. Listen, my son, and be wise. Keep your mind on the right course. Don't associate with those who drink too much wine, or with those who gorge themselves on meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will become poor, and grogginess will clothe them in rags. Okay, since we started into the portion of the New Testament that is letters, and the first batch and the largest batch of letters are letters from the Apostle Paul, we've had plenty of opportunity to look at the different complexions of the religious and theological challenges of the first century and of Paul's time and in Paul's context, so that we could you know, better understand what these letters mean, where he's coming from. And so we spent a good amount of time doing that with this letter that we're in right now, the letter to the Galatians. And have been able to kind of pull out a little bit and view why some of the things he's saying were so controversial, especially to religious Jews and even Jewish people who had begun to follow Jesus, but in no way were leaving their Hebrew religion, Judaism. In no way were they thinking that they were, you know, converting to another religion. And we've also looked at, you know, just the cultural context of Jew and Gentile mixing, and that there is no Jew or Gentile was a concept that was nearly impossible to understand, so that we could understand basically what the early church is facing. Some of the dividing things that were very divisive as the church was forming. So as modern followers who are mostly Gentile, we can wonder why these old arguments, these kinds of problems have anything to do with us. I mean, you know, Paul's views ended up in the Bible, right? They became sacred scripture. And it's been a long time since any of those kinds of issues were like life threatening. So let's look at what Paul says in Galatians today, because every time we come to this particular passage, it's this real genuine opportunity for us to get right into the thick of it, where we can see the dichotomy, where we can literally go, okay, now I see what they were facing. So Paul writes today, the law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. So with modern ears, we can read that and go, okay, great. Like, okay. How does that make it, like, how does that put me in their shoes? I don't have to live under the law. I don't have to obey the Mosaic law. That is not my way to God. There are great things in the Mosaic law that we should all adhere to, but that is not going to save me. And that does not make me righteous. Thank God that God sees me righteous before him through faith. Here's where it gets interesting for us. When Paul refers to the law, he's referring to the Torah. And the Torah is what would have been understood to a Jewish person in the first century as sacred scripture, the Bible, even though that wasn't a term yet. It was the Bible. The Bible that we have, that we know and we can hold in our hands, did not exist when Paul wrote this letter to the Galatians. For example, there isn't any New Testament. The Gospels hadn't even been written yet. The New Testament was in no way formed yet. Paul could have referred to nothing in any of his letters as doctrine or teaching or theology from Matthew to Revelation when he wrote this letter to the Galatians, because most of it wasn't in existence yet. So if there were a Bible in the context that we're talking about, it was the Torah. And if we were to read this passage that I just read to us again and replace law with Bible, we would immediately see why people were struggling with Paul's words. Imagine, like, let me do that. This is Galatians 3, 24 and 25. If we replace law, which was the Torah, which is what Paul's talking about, with Bible, which is the context we understand it in, well, just watch. The Bible was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the Bible as our guardian. Right? That will bend your mind, right? And that brings us to some delicate territory that we need to walk gingerly through. Exactly what is the Bible? Is this God's holy word that instructs us on how to live our lives? Everybody probably agrees that that's, I mean, why else would we be here? That we probably agree on that. But what if we actually could obey everything the Bible says? Would reading and obeying everything that the Bible says, even if we could do it perfectly, would that make us right with God? So you see how the issue still remains with us today. So going deeper, Paul says today in Galatians, you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, because you're all one in Christ. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs. And God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. First of all, that's very controversial for Paul to say you are all true children of Abraham. The Jewish people would have not taken that lightly. That's heresy for them. But saying everybody is an heir to God's promise to Abraham and it belongs to us. Well, just reading that, like what I just read, just reading it, that doesn't do anything. It actually takes faith in the reality of those words that changes anything, and it changes everything. Which is basically Paul's point. Adhering to a set of rules or espousing a belief system can't save us. The Bible can't save us. But the Bible points the way to the God who can save us. So if we're here only processing words and trying to obey commands, we will have missed the spirit of the whole thing. We will have lost the plot. Because there is a God behind the Bible. And the Bible constantly points us to God. But if we never reach out in faith and believe, we will not be in covenant, nor will we ever find God. We will simply have accumulated a lot of words about God. So what Paul's trying to say here is that faith is the activator. Faith is the key. It is the ignition. If we do not ever step beyond what we think that we know, or the accumulation of information, or adherence to the best of our ability to a set of ethics and rituals and rules, if we never step beyond that through faith into an actual intimate knowing and being known by God, then we haven't really gone anywhere. We've ordered our lives around certain sets of information and behaviors, but we haven't really gone anywhere. Faith is the ignition that puts us in full relationship with God. So, are we worshiping and defending the Bible? Or have the words in the Bible revealed God to us? A God who doesn't need us to defend him. A God who is God, the Almighty. Have we fallen in love with that God? Did we read words in the Bible that tell us that there is a way to move beyond the regrets and remorse of who we once were, because we can die to that person and be reborn, born again and start over? Or by faith, have we actually died to the person we once were? So, putting everything into context today shows us that we're often still trying to obey the rules so that we think that God might, by chance, notice us. Paul, though, spent his life trying to reveal that God is behind everything. And it is God that, through faith, has adopted us into his own family. And we are his children. And believing that through faith, well, that changes identity fundamentally. To truly believe we are a child of God, that changes everything. And that can only be a reality through faith, which is Paul's point. So, Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the opportunity to wrestle. Thank you for the opportunity to allow the scriptures to be a mirror. We thank you for the opportunity to look directly at ourselves in that mirror, allowing the light of truth to come flooding into us, challenging the things that we think that we know. We invite your Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, lead us into all truth. This is why we show up every day. To learn and then to ingest and to have faith to integrate these realities into the way that we believe and live. Continue to transform us. Continue to shake us and challenge us, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base. This is where to get connected, be connected, stay connected. The community section would be the place to start there. Find the different links to social media platforms that we participate in if you are in that world and in that space. More and more as we move closer and closer and closer to launching this brand new app, community section will be a lot more than that. And so much more integrated, and we'll just be launching so many new features, but a platform to build from. And so, yeah, the community section will be a lot of things, but at this point, it is where the prayer wall lives. That is always on, never off. There's always a place to reach out. no matter what's going on, good or challenging. And so be familiar with that. And the social media links are there as well. And if you are in the social media space at all, then kind of following, getting connected. I mean, we just do announcements and behind the scenes and just different things there than we're able to do here. And so just kind of staying connected is such a good idea if you're taking the journey. And so do that. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if what's happening here every day, a new step forward every day in our lives and in the scriptures, is a life-giving, meaningful part of your life, and thank you with all humility for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
This is Simply Held. I just want to say thank you to you guys for praying for my girlfriend's eyes. She's doing really, really well now. Her eyes have healed and she can see more clearly and she's doing really well. And thank you guys for lifting her up. Also, I just want to let you all know that she's not just my girlfriend anymore. She's my fiance and God is really blessing us and blessing our relationship. Please pray that our family would be accepting of our situation, and just know that we know that God is in it. So thank you again for your prayers, DAB family.
Hi, folks. This is Christopher from the Pretzel City. Haven't called in a long time, but could you please pray for, the fact that I'm dealing with a lot of anxiety related to my job. And I'll just leave it at that. And also, please pray for some people whose names I won't mention, but who are dealing with serious health problems and could use God's comfort and healing. Thank you, folks, and have a beautiful and blessed day.
Hello, this is Amy calling from Troutdale, Oregon, and I wanted to lift up Grandma Grace and her situation with her RV that she's been living in, and then also wanted to pray for the grandma that called in right before that, and I couldn't make out your name, and I know you've called in before, because I know that your son is being kept from his child, and so I just wanted to bring you both before the throne of grace. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and we bring with us our praise, and we glorify your name, God. You are good at all times, and at all times you are good. And we have these needs, God, that we want to bring before you and trust to you. Father, first of all, we've got Grandma Grace and the situation with her RV home. And God, would you give her great wisdom? Lord, would you bring the proper people and parts to replace and repair the one she has? Or bring her a new one, a new place to dwell, Lord, and to lay her head at night? Would you provide for her miraculously? I love her. Her trusting heart towards you, Lord, and her faith and trust in you. Lord, I also pray for this other grandma who called in and whose son is being kept away from his child, and just the heartbreak. You can hear it in this grandma and mama's voice. And Lord, I just pray that you would give great wisdom that you would turn the tide in regard to this whole situation, that this young man would be able to see his child, and that this grandma would be able to see her grandbaby, Lord. And I loved this woman's recognition that, yes, her child needs both a mother and her father. But God, would you provide for them in this way, God? We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, DAB family. It's Peaceful in Pennsylvania, and I want to pray for Hope in Texas. Hope, you all sold your house to downsize, and now your husband got unemployed. Oh, my goodness. So let's come to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just thank you that you have that right job for Hope's husband. Lord, I thank you, God, that you work out all things together for their good. Lord, I ask that you give Hope comfort and strength and faith. And Lord, give Hope's husband favor, favor in the name of Jesus with future employers. Lord, give him the ability to pick himself up and keep on going. It's one of the hardest things to face a loss of a job. Father, be with Hope's husband. Renew his faith. Help him to know he is not alone in the battle. And Lord, I thank you, God, just protecting Hope, the baby, and her husband. And give them the comfort of Jesus. Let them feel your presence, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Good morning, family. This is Messenger in Upstate New York. I just feel it on my heart that I need to call in and ask for prayer. A little less than 2 months ago, I got married to an amazing wife with two amazing kids, and we have blended a family. We're in the process of selling our house, and I just called to ask for prayer for my wife. She has a complicated relationship with God due to some things that happened in her past and her childhood, and she's really wrestling with some stuff. She lost her dad in January of this year, and she still hasn't had a chance to process that. And unfortunately, her mom and her sister, who should be by her side, are not the greatest people. And then we're wrestling with our middle child, who has ADHD and who just can't seem to get it. And we're trying everything we can think of to help him, and we're getting to the point where we might even have to send him off to military school, and we don't want to do that. We're running out of ideas, and I'm trying my best to be the stronghold for my wife and for my family, and it's just really hard. So I just ask for prayer for my wife, for healing for her back, for healing for her heart, that she can connect back with God. I ask for our son, Logan, that he can figure it out and get some common sense. That things will click. And for me, for some wisdom in our lives. I don't know. Just pray for what you think you need to pray, however the Spirit calls you. And I thank you for those prayers, and I just know things are going to get better. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to call in and just say a prayer for the couple that just sold their house to downsize to a more affordable house, but then the husband got laid off. And it sounds like they won't be able to continue with the purchase of the new house if he doesn't have a job. So Lord, we just ask Jehovah Jireh, God, the provider, we ask that you just provide a way, whether it be a job or some other unexpected, miraculous way, that you would just provide for them a living situation, and you would just allow them to know that you have them right where you want them, just to be present in you, draw closer to you, use in this suffering, just be very conscious of growing in their intimacy with you, Lord, and not just saying, hey, thanks for the miracle, I'm going to move on. Just allow them to use this time and look back at this time as a time of significant growth in you, Lord. But again, we pray for the practical things. We pray for the job. We pray for the house. We pray for a roof over their heads, Lord. So In your son's name I pray. Amen.